Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
And welcome to the Detours Travel Show here on Joy 94.9. I'm Jodie, and today I am joined by Greg and Lindsay for a fabulous hour of our program.
It's an hour of power when it comes to travel, I think, Jodie. And look at the weather out there. Look, I have to say, I love the rain, but I don't like getting wet. And I just had to swim to the tram stop this morning. And I did this little tippy-toe thing, which I'm really proud of myself for doing. I managed to keep perfect balance while on my toes, doing some point work.
Well, I'm glad you can. Gorgeous. It's an important time for women, too, doing point work, because this is actually about the same time as the White Ribbon Day.
It sure is. And yesterday, being Friday the 25th of November, is White Ribbon Day, which is Australia's campaign to stop violence against women. And the website is fantastic if you want to jump on. There's commitments to swear an oath, never to commit, excuse or remain silent about the violence against women. And there's lots of people across Australia, men and women, who've signed up for that.
And so they should, because it's one of those things that's absolutely abhorrent that it's still around in today's age. But it's also in gay relationships as well. So it's important that we get behind this and support this, because it's just not right. It's not right to be violent to anybody. But you know, one of the interviews I saw during the week, it actually not only talked about physical violence, but things like financial violence, psychological violence, things like that. So yeah, it's an important day, an important time.
So who do we have on as a guest today?
Well, coming up very shortly on the program, we have Emily Miller, who's a program manager from the International Women's Development Agency, IWDA, fantastic non-profit based in City Village here in 225 Bourke Street, which is an initiative of the City of Melbourne. And we'll hear about the amazing work they do to empower women and communities.
You're on Detours on Joy 94.9.
We have every week fabulous guests, and this week we are delighted to introduce and welcome to the studio Emily Miller, who is the Program Manager in Fiji for the International Women's Development Agency, otherwise known as IWDA. Welcome, Emily.
Hi, Jodie. Thank you for having me on.
Our pleasure. Now, a lot of people might not be aware of the great work that IWDA has been doing for many, many years. Mm. Could you tell us a little bit about your organisation?
Sure. IWDA is actually in its 26th year now, so we have been around for a quarter of a decade. And we're an organisation that works in the Asia and Pacific region. We're a not-for-profit development organisation. And we work with women's-led or women's organisations around issues of gender equality. So it's around creating positive change for the lives of women in the countries in which we work. So in the Pacific region, it's Fiji, where I predominantly work, and then the Solomon Islands and Papua New Guinea. And in Asia, it's along the Thai-Burma border, Cambodia and East Timor.
And there's been a lot of publicity and research that says the health of a community and the prosperity is based on women being educated,
yeah,
being well,
yeah,
children having access to health, and gender equality.
Yeah, that's right. Women are actually, that's our sort of motto, if you like. When women benefit, the whole community benefits. And as an organisation, that is what we hold very true in terms of all of the work that we do. We believe that when women benefit from development, they share those benefits with their families. So you will see them sharing their incomes with their children, with their wider community, and on themselves as well. So definitely the health of a community is around making sure that women are included in the process of all community development. Yeah.
Similarly, when women become a factory for producing 20 kids or 12 kids or 10 kids, and their whole lot in life is just becoming a womb factory, that limits their capacity, doesn't it, I suppose, to develop themselves and contribute to their societies.
It does, it does. And I think also in situations like that, when women find themselves in those sorts of situations, they are in those situations because they haven't had the opportunity to actually make decisions about their lives. So they might be in relationships or within families where they're not actually allowed to voice what it is that they want, and that usually is reflected in really high birth rates in families, that lack of opportunity to make decisions and negotiate with partners, and certainly, you know, if you're producing babies all of the time, then you're not having the opportunity to go out and work and bring in an income, or your duties are very much, constrained to the home, and which isn't a bad thing, but it's usually a source of labour which is unrecognised in formal economies.
So can I ask you a question then?
Yes.
How do you operate in a culture?
Yeah.
That is almost opposed to the style in which you intend to operate in a culture, and do you do it visibly or do you do it invisibly? And if you do it visibly, how do you maintain your workers in the field and in an area where it's the antithesis of what you're trying to do?
You mean in terms of working in a culture where, in countries where that cultural barrier exists?
Perhaps it's a male-dominated culture. Mm. Men have the power, women are powerless.
Yeah.
The value is placed on men having the power and having the access to employment or the development of opportunities.
Yeah.
And the role of women is not respected in those domains.
In those ways, yeah. I mean, that's one of the key challenges that we work around. And a lot of the work that IWDA does is around actually doing research to support the benefits of getting women to be more included in a country's economy, and also looking at the benefit of recognising that informal work which women actually partake in. It is a challenge. I would be lying if I said that it isn't. A lot of the work that we do with the organisations that we work for in these countries is actually around supporting them in the advocacy work that they're doing, and being a sister, if you like, in terms of standing with them in a lot of their work around gender equality, because that is where the change does come from, that local level, and the way in which we work overseas is unlike a lot of other development organisations in that we don't have in-country offices, and we're not an organisation that promotes ourselves widely in-country. We work in partnership with women's organisations who are actually the ones carrying out a lot of the work. So they really do take that main stage in terms of, implementing activities and trying to bring out gender equality.
If you've just joined the program, you're listening to Detours here on Joy 94.9. I'm Jody, joined by Greg, and we're speaking with Emily Miller, who's the program manager in Fiji for the International Women's Development Agency. Now, IWDA are actually one of the tenants in the City Village building, which is an initiative of the City of Melbourne here at 225 Bourke Street in Melbourne, which is fabulous. We've made many, many friends at Travellers Aid, right through to Joy. There's all sorts of fabulous arts and cultural organisations, so it's another way of fostering links in the community here being co-located.
Yeah, it's great.
Now, Emily, if I could ask you, you are the program manager.
Yes.
And you don't have offshore offices in the countries. You work out of here. But you do get the opportunity to travel to some of these countries.
I do. It's probably one of the definite perks of my job. I'm very lucky. I get to... I lived in Fiji for 5 years. So before I actually took up this role, I was recruited from Fiji. So I had been living there for a number of years and moved to Melbourne a year ago. And with my role with IWDA, get to travel back probably once every 2 to 3 months for two to three weeks to up to a month at a time. So I try to jam-pack a lot of my trips into the winter months.
Yeah, good idea.
5 years of living in the Pacific, my first Melbourne winter was a bit of a shock, so I try to make sure I'm heavily loaded towards those winter months.
That sounds fantastic. So obviously your organisation appreciated and understood your knowledge and awareness of the cultures within Fiji, because I say culture's plural because it's not just a monoculture.
It's not. Well done, Jodie. You've done your research.
Google is my friend.
Yeah.
What were you doing in those 5 years, Emily, in Fiji?
I went over initially as a volunteer on one of the Australian volunteer programs, which many of your listeners might actually know about, called VIDA, Volunteer International for Development. And I was there for 18 months working with an organization that was working around HIV and sexual health, and then stayed on for an additional sort of three and a half years, still in the field of sexual and reproductive health. Yeah.
And Greg knows something about this topic.
Oh, look, I'm immersed in sexual reproductive health. It's a passion. It's a passion, especially Fiji. But I have travelled there in a non-sexual reproductive health mode.
Well, does that mean holiday?
I've travelled there I've travelled the Pacific for holidays and just to explore. And there are issues around different subcultures that exist in the Pacific. There's a lot of tension between Indigenous culture and culture that people that perhaps are... two or three, maybe more generations living there, but come from different cultures, Asian cultures or other cultures. How did you feel about being part of that and being in that conversation? And what's it like for women within that subculture conflict?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. For me, before I actually moved to the Pacific, I had been living in South India. So when I knew I was moving to Fiji, and obviously then found out that a large part of the population in Fiji was from Indian descent, I was really excited because I knew that that meant there'd be great food.
Yes, that's always important.
It's always important. And I think that there's so much benefit that has been brought to Fiji through the many different cultures that have come to Fiji, like the Chinese that you mentioned, Greg, and also the Indian culture. It is definitely reflected in the food and in the access to the different types of food that you can get. So when you compare the markets in Suva to other Pacific Island markets, you'll see a much wider variety of vegetables and chili, and the Pacific food has definitely been influenced. And of course, the Fijian curry, which is a kind of variation between Indian curry with a Fijian influence, and it's delicious. So I think that whilst we hear a lot about the political tension brought about by the two cultures in Fiji, there's also so much richness and so much that people in Fiji really do love and appreciate about what has been brought to them by different cultures.
But for women in those cultures, what's it like on the ground for an Indian woman or a Chinese woman living in Fiji, and then for the Indigenous women?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big question, I guess, for everyone. There's it'd be different even to take it to another level and say, what's the difference for an urban or a rural woman in all of those cultures? So certainly for Indigenous Fijian women who are in the rural areas, living within communities, there's much more of a community structure that is still very much alive today, which brings its problems in terms of cultural stereotypes for women, in terms of them having very defined roles, but also brings a real community cohesion and harmony to actually living in a community village. Indian communities tend to be more settlement type situations, so there isn't that such high levels of community participation. I think also we see a lot more Indigenous female representation in leadership, and I think that Indo-Fijian women don't tend to have that same level of representation within organisations and politics and just life in general. And we do see things that affect... You will see things that affect Indo-Fijian women or Indian-Fijian women that are similar to that of Indian women in India. So, early marriage...
Arranged marriage,
yep. So all of those issues will still be seen within Indian communities in Fiji, which would not necessarily be the same for Fijian women.
So that's really interesting, isn't it? The translocation of cultural norms from one part of the world to another. And maybe a subtle adoption and changing a little bit to the new environment. Is that a difficult thing for you when you're working in the field or developing programs that are going to deliver in those areas?
I think that a lot of, when I was working in sexual and reproductive health, a lot of the work that we did actually did focus in Indigenous Fijian communities because, as I mentioned before, they had those sort of cultural rules around being part of a community. So when you're working in community development, a lot of the initial stages of the consultations that will go on before before activities are implemented are talking to, you know, village leaders and getting the approval of the village leaders. So of course, when you have that structure, it's quite easy to actually plan how to implement a project. And in Indian communities or Indian settlements, you don't have that. So it can become more difficult to actually get people together to actually run activities. And I noticed, my personal experience working at a community level, I noticed that. I noticed that a lot of community development programs were focusing on Indigenous communities and Indigenous women, not so much Indo-Fijian settlements and Indo-Fijian women.
It's interesting, Emily, you were talking before about IWDA being based here in Australia.
Yes.
And not having offshore offices. If our listeners might recall, we had interviewed Sian Whaley a number of years ago, and I'm not sure if we've got the podcast still, but she talked about she had a scholarship with the World Wildlife Fund, and she went to Africa, to Senegal, to do community development activities related to the environment and trying to work with local communities about finding alternative, more sustainable forms of income, not just overfishing. And what she reflected on was the vast number of international organisations who had amazing amount of infrastructure and Land Rovers and a lot of money, who weren't necessarily channeling that perhaps in the right way.
Yeah. That's a big question.
That is a big question.
It's not really a question. It's more of a comment or a reflection.
Well, how do you measure that you get that right at IWDA?
Well, yeah, I mean, that is a really big question. I think that I'd be interesting to know just how long ago that was, because I think in the field of development, there has been a lot of focus.
It was within the last 18 months, actually.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm surprised. And actually, what she reflected on was that one of the major philanthropics from overseas came, and they actually weren't that interested in the outcomes for the community. They were just sort of interested in having a bit of a junket, which was very disappointing. What I think is interesting is the philosophical approach or the community development approach that you take in working in partnership with those local women's organisations. That's neat. I like that.
You like it?
Very interesting.
Yeah.
What are some of the challenges that those organisations have? Is it all about resources?
It varies. And I think that even across the IWDA country program, it varies per country depending on where those particular organisations are. In Fiji and with the organisations that I work with, I work with some amazingly well-resourced and strong feminist organisations who are vocal and very skilled in terms of what they do. So for them, it's not necessarily about resources per se, but it's about having a partnership with an agency that you have a shared philosophy with and feeling like you're supported in the work that you're doing. And part of the work that, or the support that IWDA provides, is actually creating spaces for our partners to actually come together and share and learn from each other and look at the different activities and the different approaches that are happening across the Asia and Pacific region to see if there's things that other organisations can learn from each other. And then there are, of course, the organisations which are struggling, and it is about resources for them. And, you know, we obviously, where we can with those organisations, are trying to assist with providing resources, but also providing organisational support. So a lot of our partners that we have worked with and are still working with have been long-term partners. Fiji Women's Rights Movement was our first partner in Fiji, and they're an organisation that we started to work with in 1988. And another organisation, Pacific Centre for Peace Building, they're a relatively recent organisation, but we were their founding supporters. And a lot of the work that we provide to them is around governance and management and those really practical things that the organisation needs to make sure that they have right before they can actually really garner that kind of larger donor support. So the support really varies in terms of what we provide.
Now, you're here on Detours with Jodie and Greg, and our guest is Emily Miller. from the International Women's Development Agency. I'd like to ask some questions about you and some of your personal passion, but let's hear a little bit of music from the Pacific now. That's something that you're, you know, close to you in your heart when
in
you
my
travel
heart.
The area.
Yes.
Beautiful. You're on Joy 94.9 with Detours with Jodie and Greg.
Joy 94.9.
Diverse sound for the most diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
And you're listening to Detours here on Joy. I'm Jodie, joined by Greg and Lindsay. And of course, our fantastic guest, who is from the International Women's Development Agency, Emily Miller, who's the program manager. And that was a great track there, Linz.
It was. It was Se Ma La Losa by Tay Vaca. Beautiful. That sort of sound from that part of the planet is just so relaxing, isn't it? It's just like, oh, you know. I'd like to meditate or something to that track, I think.
Fantastic part of the world.
It made me feel very peaceful.
Keep listening to 1pm. That you played before. Is that typical of Fijian music?
That's, I'd say, modern Fijian music, or it's modern Pacific music, I should say. I think, yeah, it is. It is fairly reflective. Pacific people have beautiful voices, beautiful, beautiful voices. So the harmony's quite reflective of Pacific music for me.
Beautiful. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. We've been talking about your experiences of working in community development, in particularly in Fiji. How is it that you got into the sort of industry or sector, so to speak?
Hmm. I think I was one of those people who sort of fell into it. I had always had a passion for social justice. So even when I wasn't working in international development, I was working with vulnerable communities. So that was something that had always kind of driven my career decisions, I guess. And then my first overseas assignment was in Mongolia. I went to Mongolia when I was about 23, I think, on the Australian Volunteer Program, Australian Youth Ambassador Program. And that was pretty much when I went, yeah, this is what I want to do, and this is what I want to sort of spend my time investing in, because it's what you do for a living is a lot of your days, and I think it's important to enjoy it and to be actually learning a lot yourself every day. So that was sort of what drove me to continue.
If you're in Mongolia and you knock off work, you actually can't go down to local Macca's.
You can't, although there might be one there now.
Oh, you can't go swimming.
Really,
you can't put the bins out at home here in Australia. You're really become isolated in a way yourself by your working environment?
Yeah.
Or do you?
Well, I think it's interesting. I think everyone, I mean, no person's experience is the same. So people who work in my sector would all have different experiences, I suppose. But for me, I really love meeting new people, and I love living overseas, not necessarily traveling overseas, because I think those two things are very different and you get a very different perspective of the country and the people. And so for me, I really enjoyed investing in that, and that was worth leaving those traditional kind of support structures of maybe sort of your old friends and family, even though you miss them and you keep in contact with them. It was kind of getting out there and learning about other cultures is really exciting for me.
Although a lot of people now combine a sort of hybrid experience of voluntourism.
Yes.
Which I think is a really interesting model of, you know, volunteering for a period of time and then travelling, and you might have the beach resort relaxation thing and then go do good in a community, so to speak. But I wonder how I've never done anything like that. Have you done that, Greg?
Voluntourism. I've built a shed in Samoa.
Oh, cool.
So I've done that.
I didn't realise you were handy.
Well, it wasn't very good structure.
He looks like he'd be handy.
Yeah. Actually, yes, you're good at putting together furniture.
I think I held a pole and people dug it round and put the cement round.
That's an important task.
Someone needed to do it.
But it's that interaction, isn't it, with the different cultures where you work alongside them. You're not just someone that's coming in to view from afar and then wander off again, you're actually part of what happens. You get the splinter in your hand.
Yeah.
You cut yourself just like the person standing next to you, and you sit down at the end of the day and you listen to their songs and you try to sing their songs and you do the dance and you find out about a culture that, you know, if you'd been a bit more luckier, you might have been born into.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, that's the beauty part about it, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Does that sustain you? I mean, what keeps you waking up in the morning and coming to work?
I think, gosh, we're really getting into the deep questions of the...
Oh, yeah, it's hard-hitting journalism here on Joy.
For me currently, what do I...
What's your passion and what sustains you? What gets you out of bed?
Yeah, I do. I definitely love working for IWDA because of our focus. I do believe that women are incredibly powerful agents of change, and I do believe that the untapped potential in women, when released, will actually change the world. Like, I do actually truly believe that. I believe that we that is really where great change is going to happen, and when we're really going to see benefit in the end of war and better communities and better families.
I'm with you.
Look, yeah, absolutely.
In my whole professional career, I've always pushed, nurtured, encouraged and cajoled women to take leadership roles and often replace me in leadership roles. And I find that women sometimes are reluctant to step up and do those things. It's almost like they're enculturated with this slightly level, less layer of importance, and it's hard to overcome that barrier. And and it often takes men to push women up. It's not just women pushing women forward. It's men saying, come on, this is your gig. Here's a spot for you. Step up.
Well, I think you only have to look in Australia. Just recently, the Gillard government announcement of the pay equity case here in Australia, with, you know, unions, community service organisations, peak bodies coming together to say the valuable work that is done in our community to the most or with the most vulnerable people is often women, more than half women, and being paid less
Less. So, and and globally, it's even worse. Mm. Women do 2/3 of the world's work. 2/3 of the world work and produce half of the world's food and own 1% of the world's property and literally do earn on average half half is what, you know, as much as men do. So there really is a huge amount of inequity, and I think sometimes in Australia it's difficult for a lot of people to see that on a daily basis, but globally the statistics are really shameful in terms of women's involvement in the economy and in the country's civil and political life.
Now, that voice is Emily Miller from the International Women's Development Agency. I've got a question both for Emily and for Jody. Australia's not the best model about supporting women in leadership positions. Look at the, you know, we finally get a woman prime minister in this country, and then the voting public goes soft, and a large chunk of the people that have turned and aren't supporting the woman in this leadership role are women. Why does that happen in society?
You know, I was watching, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this actually, I was watching Insiders about a month ago, and one of the speakers on Insiders made a comment and said, okay, the experiment's over, it's time to hand the country back now. And I thought,
back to whom?
I thought that was a really interesting comment. I was really angry by that comment, because that would never have happened if that was a male prime minister, and we wouldn't be seeing shows on the ABC like we've seen. Am I allowed to say that? On radio. I mean, I think the attacks that that we've seen at a personal level on our prime minister is something which I find, you know, very distasteful, and something which sort of really does get my back up in terms of it's not appropriate to actually talk about our leader like that, whether you agree with everything that's happening right now in terms of the Labour Party. I think that the way in which some people are actually talking about her is reflective of really what we as a country believe in terms of women's role in leadership.
So take that essence of that issue where we don't respect women through those actions. That's showing a disrespect of women, especially lead our nation, how can we then get it right with development, where we take our wealth in Australia and try and assist other nations to develop? How do we get that right?
Well, I think, I mean, when you talk about cultural barriers overseas, I think it's really important if you're working for a development organisation that's Australia-based, is to actually acknowledge that we have our own culture. You know, we are not without culture ourselves, and the path towards gender equality is a journey, and some countries have travelled along that journey further than others, or are at a different point along that journey. But it's not about going to a country saying, we're really great and you need to change to be like us. It's about actually looking at parts of our culture which we're really proud of, and parts of our culture which we want to keep, and parts of our culture which perhaps aren't benefiting all in our community, and looking at ways in which we can change them so that everyone actually benefits and everyone actually gets to, you know, fulfill their rights and to fulfill their dreams and hopes and all of those, you know,
important things. Absolutely. Yes. Fundamental human rights, really, when you think about it. And you're right, Greg, just thinking about what's happening in Australia now about gender inequality or inequality. You know, our representation of women on boards at the moment is just appalling. Mm. And I really feel very, very strongly that needs to change, because boards obviously have a governance function and role, and that's their purpose. But it's also, I think, about reflecting the diversity of our culture and community, and that also includes people with culturally, linguistically diverse backgrounds, people with disabilities, women. And that is reflective of the community. If you don't have a reflection of the community with the skills in those roles, then who are you serving?
Yeah. Well, you're listening to Detours on Joy 94.9 with Emily Miller and Jodie and Greg. And you're on a radio station that has just adopted affirmative action as something that's going to be rolling out through our constitutional reform and everything we do. We've picked a low target to start with of 30% for women participation in everything we do, and we're going to start heading towards, I would hope, a 40% barrier, and by which time, naturally, by natural attrition, we would have overcome that and gone to at least half, if not more, of women participation in this radio station. So it starts from the grassroots. You've got to put it in place, don't you? You've actually got to take those steps, and some of us men have to risk perhaps being put in the back blocks for a while to encourage women to take over our roles.
And it's a process as well, because, you know, people who haven't ever had the opportunity or experience to actually lead don't just wake up one morning and become a leader. You know, it's something that you need to have the opportunity to practice, and you need to have exposure, and you need to have mentoring, and you need to have the opportunity to network. So it's not something that will happen overnight, but it's something that governments need to actually start putting those mechanisms in place to actually allow those opportunities for women to actually...
Actually, it takes a while to get the pool of mentors up strong enough so they can actually be mentors. Yeah. You don't have one or two people doing all the people as mentors.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We'd love to hear from you if you're listening overseas, or in fact anywhere in your car around Melbourne or Australia, or you might be listening online. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at onair@joy.org.au. And if you'd like to SMS us, perhaps you've got a thought about travel experiences you've had in a whole range of countries and gender equality, you can SMS us on 0427 569 949, or that's 0427 join 949. I'm Jodie, joined by Greg here on Detours.
Where's this from, Emily?
This is another Pacific tune.
Fantastic.
Which I used to run to every morning along the seawall.
Oh, Sporty Spice. Fabulous.
You're on Joy 94.9 with Detours.
Joy 94.9.
That last beautiful track we were listening to is Luliana by Tay Varga again. Such a beautiful sound for a rainy Sunday afternoon, Pete Dillon.
Given it's Saturday.
Hey, you don't have a microphone either.
No, I do now.
And it is Saturday.
Saturday, not Sunday.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, should I even be here today?
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe I should go. I'm here on the wrong day.
My cravings cup runneth over today. Michael Broderick from the Prince Maximilian on Commercial Road. A new Providor store in Dalesford. So we'll have the one in from there. Talking to the man from Barbecues Plus, who's supporting this lovely drive we're having starting on Monday. And Andrew McConnell. So it's just chockers, the show. Chockers.
Sounds great.
See you after 1 o'clock.
Thanks, Pete. You're listening to Joy 94.9, and we're speaking with Emily Miller, Program Manager, IWDA. Keep listening here on Joy.
Listen to that music on the tram in the morning coming in, especially in winter, and it's amazing how that kind of beat and those sort of tunes can just kind of pick you up, take you back to the Pacific. I love it.
Very nice. Do you wear a Hawaiian shirt with that and a lei? And is that Fijian?
I do have a lot of bulla, which is, like the bulla material, which they the Sulus, the traditional dress is made out of. And I wore it around for a bit when I first arrived to Melbourne, but I have slowly but surely been overcome by the colour of black.
What is it about Melbourne and black?
I have this really bright green Pacific dress, which I get a lot of looks. I'm not sure if they're negative, probably positive. But probably
sounds fabulous.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Very nice. Now, we've been talking on the program today about the work that's done in country in the Asia Pacific area with IWDA. Yes. And I imagine a lot of our listeners who have a passion for social justice and they care might like to be involved and do something. What could people do to help and support the work that your organisation does?
There's lots of different things that people can do, from actually donating financially. So you can become a monthly empowered donor, which is a regular monthly donation that people provide. Or there are also opportunities to be involved in the Gifts of Change, which can be, again, an ongoing donation or can be a one-off donation where money that you donate goes towards specific projects that we're implementing. But of course, it doesn't need to be financial. There's also opportunities with IWDA to volunteer with us. We have some great volunteers who come in on a regular basis and are really an important part of the organisation. So, the website's always a good place to start. So just www.iwda.org.au, and you can sort of sign up for our newsletters, and through the newsletters you'll find out about regular community engagement activities which we're running, which are also a really important part of getting the word out about IWDA and the different projects that we're doing. So we have regular film nights, for instance, which you could come along to, or we participate in the One Just World forums. Have you heard about them? That's a partnership that we have with World Vision, and they're done in every state in Australia, so you don't have to be Melbourne to be involved. They're run usually on a monthly basis, but if you check the website you'll find out exactly what's on and in what state, and it's usually kind of topical issues around development or around poverty alleviation or around just social justice, really. And they'll usually, it might be the forum of a debate, for instance, or it might be a panel where they're discussing issues. So if you wanted to kind of learn more about development or learn more about effectiveness in development, then those kinds of forums could be a really interesting place to sort of start.
So there's no shortage of things that people can do to be involved. So giving of time, giving of money, giving of support.
Yeah.
Do it. Do it now.
Lots of different stuff.
And maybe if you can't do it, you have commitments that you can't do it, have a bit of a chat amongst your group of friends. Around there will be some people who have the space.
Yeah.
And maybe just need that conversation to spark up the interest.
Yeah.
And you're always there at the end of a phone, I'm sure, too.
We are, or someone is. If it's not me, it would be one of the other lovely IWDA ladies. I should also say that we have, we have ongoing yearly events, especially around International Women's Day, for instance. So we'll have, last year we had Half the Sky for the 100th anniversary, which was a massive concert, and it was huge. And then this year in November we're having an art auction. So usually we will have kind of highlight events throughout the year that if you sort of signed up to our newsletter you'd find out about them in plenty of time to join.
Now, what should the pro-feminists amongst the people with Y chromosomes do to support you?
Just be involved, Greg. We are feminism today. Feminism today is an inclusive, an inclusive movement. We actually have a "This is what a feminist looks like" campaign. Mm-hmm. We need to bring you up some t-shirts, actually. We take photos of people, all different types of feminists, in their t-shirt and put them on our website. Yeah,
I will wear a t-shirt for you guys.
If you believe
be the poster
in
boy.
If you believe in equality, then you are a feminist. So we don't care. We don't care what gender you are. You can come and support us and come and support IWDA. Yep.
And I'm a feminist as well. And I worked for an organisation some time ago, which was a women-only board. Mm. And I actually decided that for a lot of reasons, that didn't work in the organisation I was working in. And when I suggested that perhaps we need to have a gender balance in this organisation, even though it's a women's organisation, they were horrified. But I think it's different with the sort of development work you're doing. And I can understand why some organisations have gender-specific organisations. Okay. But I think there's always need for engagement. And I think what you're talking about now is about having those conversations and being open and accepting of the diversity of people's feminist views.
Absolutely, yes. Again, it's a journey. I'm probably one of the staunch feminists in the organisation, I think. And feminism itself is a journey as well. There isn't one type of feminism. There's lots of different schools of feminism. And it's really about sort of doing your own reading and your own education and finding out what feels right and fits you in terms of what you feel comfortable talking about.
And the same could be said about sexuality, really, as well.
Absolutely.
You know, we all have labels of things of being queer or straight or gay or lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex. Yep. But really, at the end of the day, it's really whoever you feel you are doing the best and the right thing for your community, and it can change.
It can change.
Absolutely.
Isn't it about not just the label, but who's applying the label?
Mm. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Well, as a gay friend of mine says, the only label he likes to wear is Prada.
Awesome.
Now, you're here on Detours with Jodie and Greg, and our guest today has been Emily Miller, who is going to play us a little bit of music to take us out.
Another one?
Another one of your beautiful tracks.
Sure. Okay.
More music from the Pacific?
Yes, it is.
What's this track?
I don't have the name.
That's all right.
It's just track number 5.
Well, if you know, you can
let
us know.
I will.
Thanks so much for joining us, Emily.
Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. And keep up the great work at IWDA. You're listening to Joy 94.9. Mealoha, mehetama inglihi, kite ia tino kai katinga. Olohenga, olohenga, halo.
Joy 94.9.
And that was Tay Varka again with Haloa Olohega. Beautiful, beautiful music, isn't it? Absolutely superb.
It just was our guest, Emily Miller. What a fantastic guest today.
She sure is. And we're going to have a series of interviews in the next coming months with the IWDA for the work that they do to support and empower women in communities across the Southeast Asia areas. And coming up shortly will be Shannon with the news, and then Pete Dillon with Cravings after the news after 1 o'clock. And next Saturday we're going to have another fantastic guest, Tony Noble, who has spent quite a lot of time travelling abroad, a former priest, who's going to come and talk about his travel experiences and his reflections here on Joy 94.9.
It's been a good show today. Thanks
Sounds
very much
fabulous.
For joining us.
Have a great weekend.
We'll see you next week.
Bye for now.
I've been around the world. Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.